What is very important is the intention for every occasion. An-niyatul mu'min khayru min amalihi. If you look at it, the action of a believer is better than the intention of the believer is better than the action. Sometimes a person intends to do a whole lot of ibadat, and when they really reach that place, example Umrah, they're not doing too well, so they only manage one tawaf, and the rest of the time they're in the hotel, they have to sleep, heavy fever. So upon that intention, a person is rewarded. Similarly, a person is doing Hifzul Quran and they pass away in the interim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect them among the huffaz. So this morning as well, let's make an intention that I have come with an empty cup. My mind is free from everything, and inshallah I won't let any distractions get the better of me, especially the cell phone. So let's plan ourselves out properly so that in the next 45 minutes to 50 minutes we can have some spiritual exercise of improvement. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقي فأولئك هم الفائزون صدق الله العظيم. Sisters, we are in the Maktab project for KZN, and in this Maktab project we have what we call 7 P's. The letter P for perfect. The 7 P's, we say proper prior planning prevents poor pathetic performance. These 7 P's, if you take them into the commercial world, political world, we take them into the sports world, whichever direction a person wants to apply these 7 P's, you'll find that it will then yield maximum benefits and a person won't be at a loss. All of you in Durban are a proof of this fact, that you understand proper prior planning preventing poor pathetic performance. Because recently when we had the cold front, then it was noticed by the weathermen, it was due to all the people in Glenwood and the greater Durban area that were opening up their freezers. And when they opened the freezers, you find that the cold front came about. So that's just some light-hearted talk to introduce you to this morning's discussion. That if you had not made all your preps well before Ramadan, then today in the month of Ramadan, for the sake of your family and for something for the iftar dastarkhan table, you would be making it now, isn't it? So many women got all their things done well beforehand. And a woman is like a little scientist in a laboratory. She will explain to you what she's doing and how she's doing it, Whether she's doing it herself or she's getting assistance or getting it done by somebody else. But end of the day, the classical answers that she'll give you, I don't want to get caught unawares. I need to be ready. I need to be hands-on. So that perception of proper prior planning preventing poor pathetic performance is ingrained in us from day one. However, respected sisters, what we find that many a times what we are doing in the lines of the world to improve our worldly life and make our life better for good living, it will be advisable to bring those qualities in our Islamic life as well. When a person starts envisaging his dini life as a business, in a normal business, the capital is a certain amount by which you would purchase some products and you would make a sale of it. But if the expenses are more than the capital and more than the profit, then that business, before you can say hello to it, it will be at a loss. So how a person plans their business, we need to plan our dini affairs as well. Now, different times we talk about different things. But just last night, just after the crepuscular time, at twilight, a very unique thing happened. And that is the Ramadan moon was sighted. And everybody went into the frenzy, Ramadan Mubarak and Alhamdulillah, and some were chuckling and some were tearing and some were giggling, and some even said, "Ich," like I met a man outside the masjid. See, I never expected. I said, "Well, it's here, so you got to get ready now." So Ramadan Sharif from last night to now is almost just over 12 hours old. You can say just going for about 18 hours if you work out at 6 o'clock. So in this 18 hours so far, it will be a good thermometer to see how we are going to spend the balance of the days. From the time of the inception of the month, what was the feeling in the heart that this month has come in? Is there really a feeling? And we've got to be honest. Now, when you say honest, you don't have to take the sister next to you and say, "Hey, Aisha, I don't feel nothing." It's not that. It's a rhetorical question, and we've got to answer to our own hearts. That feeling that you get when your husband surprises you with a brand new set of the latest platinum AMC pots, you know, platinum rims and brims with all that, what's the feeling in the heart? You needed a certain vehicle and your dad calls you over and says, "Betty, this weekend you'll come over to wherever it is that dad stays. And when you come there, he's absolutely quiet and he tells you, just go and get me something from the garage." And there you see a massive ribbon on this brand new BMW and with your initials, on that number plate. What goes through that heart? What a special father. What a special husband. One Sunday morning, before or after Ramadan, you wake up and your daughters have gone out of their way and they prepared the entire breakfast continental style, A to Z. Lovely serviettes, overlays, and you know, they even handle your fine china with greatest amount of care, and they're brewing the coffee, and they've got the pancakes and crumpets and all that coming your way. Bad thing to talk about now, huh? All right. Sorry, maaf. But nonetheless, what's that feeling? Hey, these children care for me so much. So we understand the element of surprise. We understand the element of being gifted something, and there's a certain nerve in our body that is stirred when we become excited. Did that nerve get stirred last night up till now? This is a question. Now, if that nerve never got stirred, it doesn't mean you're a disbeliever. It doesn't mean you're a sinner. It means that we haven't focused on what is really happening. And that's why the honored scholar, Hazrat Mufti Sahib Hafizahullah, has put this program together along with the community, so that if that nerve was not stirred, if that bell did not ring, if that alarm did not sound, if that hooter did not beep, then it must beep by this morning, because whence Eid will come, an alim, great scholar, he says that examinations, Ramadan Mubarak and Qiyamah, have something in common. What is common in examinations and Qiyamah and in Ramadan? When you are writing an examination and the question comes, please mention the different types of rocks. And that is the very section that you just skipped it, thinking, who's going to ask me about stones, man? So now, metamorphic, igneous, and sedimentary rocks, it's all like stone in the mind, and we kick ourselves and regret. How I wish I could get back. How I wish I could get back to my work, so that I can just check up what's going on. Imagine a question in an accounts paper comes about tax or about stats. And now you're thinking, when Prof. Kona was lecturing to me, why didn't I pay attention? Yeah? Second year, the students doing the BCom, they get really perturbed, you know, how are we going to make it? Then you're writing the board exam. How do you feel? Don't you wish you checked that one section? So likewise, when you're writing for your drivers, you also see, why didn't I study this one sign, man? So examinations make us want to go back. Likewise, Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala speaks to us in Surah Al-Sajdah, رَبَّنَا أَبَصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. Oh Allah, we have seen now. رَبَّنَا أَبَصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا, we have heard also. فَرْجِعْنَا, send us back. نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا, we can do good deeds. So there's a sense of regret on Qiyamah that we want to return. There's a sense of regret in the examination that we want to go and check our books. How do we regret in the month of Ramadan? You see, sisters, when you'll reach the moon sighting of Eid, and everybody will be saying, Ramadan Mubarak, Alhamdulillah, I managed itikaf, Alhamdulillah, I finished so many khatams, and you know, our house used to have talim daily, and we used to make so many zikrs, and we used to think about maut and all these things. And you say, hey, what? I was just snoozing. I was like a lazy Jane. I just went to sleep this month of Ramadan. Shucks, I missed out. So that Eid Mubarak, you'll be enjoying all the sweets and the treats, but in the heart of heart, it's like a betrayed month. I didn't do it. So today, on the very inception, we must consider these programs as a rahmat really. These programs of Ramadan that come about are like the Comrades Marathon. When you look at the Comrades Marathon, they have these special stations, water, Milo bars, Coca-Cola, all things with carbs and sugars to give people the extra boost and power. And they even have massage stations for people whose muscles are stiffening up due to the long race up ahead. So those runners, they consider these rest stations as a rahmat for them. Wallahi al-Azim, these programs that are going to be aired on the receiver, or whatever has been written by the different scholars as risala, as periodicals, or the bayanat that you have come for, are there to wake our spirits up. So we've got two scenarios. Somebody whose nerve did not, Ramadan didn't appeal to them, and somebody who has got Ramadan in front of them. So both are going to benefit this morning. Because the one that's running is going to run faster. And the one that was a sitting duck, she's going to now try to paddle and move faster. So what we actually need in this month of Ramadan, really, sisters, because some of you are working full time, right? You've got jobs. Some of you are working part time. You at home as well as you take on some responsibility to get a few rands in your pocket. And some of you are the home executives who are at home all the time. So the three categories of women around your schedule for the day, you have to have something called a timetable. If a timetable, either a categoric one that's on your computer or drawn up with a pencil and a ruler and placed next to your headboard or on the fridge, which is a common place for these things, wherever you put it and however you put it, if up to now we haven't thought of a timetable, then we're at a loss. So this morning, inshallah, we're going to discuss the timetable of the month of Ramadan. This is not hard and fast, but tried and tested. So if you want to make a move, in the following words that I will take about 10 minutes to explain, you'll find that there's great amount of benefit. And whoever has followed it, they somehow haven't fallen into the ditches, and they have gone to new heights. So we're going to start this timetable with the crack of dawn. In other words, early dawn. So this morning we all know that at 5:15 was the last time, 5:10 was safe time. So try and plan yourself according to the amount of responsibilities you have, that what time you're going to wake up to talk to your Rabb. You know, sisters, you try phoning somebody at 4 o'clock in the morning. First thing they'll tell you, I thought it was a funeral. What other reason? Can you ever phone anybody 4 in the morning or 3:45 in the morning and just say, I just want to talk to you? But there's one being that is Allah Rabbul Izzat, that is Sami'un Basir, that is all hearing and all seeing, that He's waiting for you to talk to Him. So early in the morning, alhamdulillah, in the Durban area, they're trying to adjust the water with the water department. But if that's not adjusted, it shouldn't hold us back. Fill your water in different bottles and containers at night. And we wake up, we do the call of nature, make our wudu, and we get onto that musalla. We're going to be performing 2 rakats, 4 rakats, 6 rakats or 8 rakats of salah. 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. Many women want to make longer rakats, but they don't have the ability to read long surahs. So the ulama explain in a simple way, just repeat the short surahs over and over again. In a nafil salah, it's allowed, you'll end up with longer rakats. Because you feel like standing in front of Allah, and that euphoria, that spiritual feeling that you get, you want to stand there and enjoy it, but because you only know Alam Tara Kaifa, so before you read, before you just even getting close to standing for long enough, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَأَصْفِمْ مَأْكُولُ, and there you dropping for ruku. Not that there's any less in ruku of a status of salah, but you want to read Quran and stand in front of Allah, so repeat that Alam Tara Kaifa a few times, at least those 3-4 lines. If you repeat it about 5 times, it should come to 20 lines, approximately about 2 pages of the Quran, so you can stand in front of Allah for about at least 5 minutes more. After we finish this Tahajjud Salah, it's a very, very effective time to ask from Allah Ta'ala your needs. Sisters, the du'as that we ask from Allah may be accepted there and then. Allah, I want to go for Hajj. Suddenly your phone beeps, accredited. So it can happen like that, right? But very seldom you find that the dua that you make at 10:57, by 10:58 is accepted. Allah Ta'ala knows how to present things to us. Because, you know, lightheartedly, I remember this incident. One person, the news came that he won a million rands. So they're thinking how to break the news to that person. So two friends, they made a mashura that we will go and in a nice way, we will try and break it to him. So one person said, I got the right example. I know how to sort it out. So he went, and this person was doing window cleaning. Or he was on a scaffolding, he was building. So he took a walk up and he said, Assalamu alaikum, how are you, bhai? Now, bear in mind, he's about to break a news. So many stories high of a person who has won a million rand. So he tells him, what will you do if I tell you you won a million rand, buddy? So the person, I'll give you half. He fell off the scaffolding. So you see, good news too fast gets you off guard. So sometimes Allah will accept your prayer there and then. But many women or many ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have a subtle complaint that they don't bring out. But when you interact with them, you come to learn that they're failing in this part of dua because they don't see it happening on a cash basis. Like if you put airtime in the phone, immediately it's showing you 5 rand. You put petrol in the car, immediately the range goes up. But I'm making dua, but I'm not seeing it happening. Now we need to understand the element of dua in its categoric basis so that we can grasp what is going on by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah ta'ala accepts your duas, it's either accepted as you wanted. Allah, I want that home in some portion of Durban. And then Allah ta'ala makes it happen for you, the estate agent or whatever it is. Put two and two together, voila, you got it, alhamdulillah, and you got the keys. But sometime Allah will not give you that house. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must understand, is the most wise. Allah ta'ala is the one that's always doing good for us. We cannot perceive this because of our dominance of negative qualities within us. So we look at everybody with negativities. Actually, with Allah Ta'ala, we must have the sight of positivities, that He is not accepting my prayers because of ABC reason. Probably, what's going to happen? Now, without being prejudiced to anybody, by way of example, it's a prime property with a lovely view, but in 2 years' time, down the line, people are now going to make that vacant plot of a park into a squatter camp. And your property is going to go from 5 million down to 1 million. Allah is saving us, but we don't realize it. Now, how many a person, I say as Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned, 120 times we have seen this example. Where a person is at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then when he sees the hikmat, or she sees the truth of the matter, then they become Allah's friend once again. Thanks Allah for not letting it happen that way. My ustad had booked a flight. Now those of you that have been flying from yesteryears will know that it was not like a ticket like now. Now we got the e-ticket system. Those days you had a written ticket. So it was written there that 2 o'clock is a flight. So he pitches up, mashallah, with the luggage, everything at about 2 hours before the flight, 12 o'clock. They say this flight took off 2 a.m. So he's quite heartbroken. But that very day, his grandmother passed away. So Allah works out something for somebody in a unique manner. And respected sisters, as you have seen many sunrises and sunsets, you will bail me out. Not one time, but 1,000 times in your life, Allah has made something else happen. And we say, shukr, it did not happen. Many a times, you get a young person and she's hoping for a certain proposal from certain place. And she's hoping that she must be the princess and the knight in armor must just scoop her up in the halal way, of course. And now she'll be living that comfortable life. But there that person gets married to somebody else and his true colors surface after the marriage. That yes, he's a knight in armor, but he also functions with a sword. He also functions like he's in the military, and that queen that he has is living a miserable life. So the person says, "Oof, I will never ever, I make shukr to Allah that he didn't knock my door." So we cannot perceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hikmat and wisdom. There's a story that comes to mind that once a person was aboard a ship, and there was a nasty storm, and the ship got wrecked. Everybody passed on, and a drowning man will clutch onto straw, so he had some driftwood, and he made it to a remote island. Whatever he could salvage from the ship that washed onto the shore, he kind of made a little shanty with that, and he would forage for food, waiting for his death, that one day I'll have to pass on, even though I'm not starving and I'm not dying of thirst, but this is where I'm going to be. And his clothes were reduced to breeches. You know, when clothes become old, how they get torn and tattered. So one day when he goes out to look for his berries and his normal things that he would look around for in that island, he had made a little fire, and when he comes back, certain sparks on that fire had burned that very shanty that he had. And he goes into a frenzy. Allah! First it was the ship, and all my goods on board that ship, destroyed and gone into Neptune's castle. Taken by Davy Jones' locker once and for all. These are words for the ocean, if you do some reading. This came to my mind. Then you wash me on this island with nobody, no one to talk to. The little that I got from the ship also, you couldn't make sabar with it. And I built my house and now you burn it. And he's fighting with God Almighty. He's fighting with Allah. Now you know when people fight and there's no response from the other side, they get tired after a while. So he fought, and he fell asleep. As he falls asleep, he hears, boom, there's a hooter or the horn of a huge cargo ship, and they're sending a boat to come and fetch him. And he goes, jumps on that boat, they give him warm soup, fresh clothing, a bath after so long in the proper way. You know, he cleans himself up, cuts his hair, etc. Now the amazing question is, how did you find me on this island after so many moons, you know? They say, we didn't know you here. We saw your smoke signal. So then he looks up and says, and he bites his fingers in regret, Allah, I'm sorry. So du'as to be made at tahajjud time. And then sometimes du'as will not be accepted the way we want, and it won't be to abase any harm in our direction, but it will be reserved for qiyamah. Now the unique part about this, wallahi lazim, human being is so fickle, really sisters. So fickle you can't believe it. That on qiyamah's day, when Allah will show a person for every dua that you made in this world and it didn't get accepted, I'm giving you this stage in akhirat, now they'll argue with Allah, why did you even accept the first dua that I made? Now what do we want? Na kehte bane, na sehte bane. We caught between a rock and a hard place. So I always tell my friends when we speak about the subject, just leave it to Allah. Which one is his prerogative? He wants to accept this one, let him accept it. He wants to hold on something bad for us on that state, let him do it. And he wants to postpone it for the akhirat, let him do it. Let Allah do his job. What must I do? I must do my job. Just beg him and see the outcome. Now for brevity of time, I'm going to move away from the subject of dua and maybe catch it at iftar time again, right? Because we need to go through the day. So then, after that little dua that we would make, people say, but Mawlana, I don't know how to make dua. If ever I saw a man that makes dua, it was Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Patel Sahib. I'm not saying anyone else's dua is not a dua. Please, I lived with great luminaries at Zakaria, at my alma mater. But I saw a man speak to Allah, you know. You know, one is you get a relationship between a father and children. Come here, do that. And then you get a father and son. They've got some rapport. You know, if I saw a man that could talk to Allah, my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, my most merciful, compassionate, as if him and Allah, na'udhu billah, laysa ka misli shay, you cannot personify Allah, but like he was talking to Allah and Allah was like right there. So we had the opportunity of this being in Maulana's company for a very short while, but nonetheless, whatever we could pick up has become a legacy for life. So people say we don't know how to make dua. In reference to another alim, he advised that why don't you just make dua for 3 minutes? 1 minute for yourself, just for yourself really. Another minute for your friends and family, and the 3rd minute for marhums and the ummah. When that person started making dua, then after that he came back to the alim, but Maulana, can you increase it to more? Because when I finish with myself, there's so much I'm enjoying asking Allah. Alone myself takes about 10 minutes. Now sisters, you all have been through this particular case. You know, when the young boys get married, I'm talking about those who never met their spouses on WhatsApp and internet and Twitter and Facebook, pure marriages, you know, the right way. Then even the girls, they ask the question, but how am I going to talk to this boy? I never talked to a boy in my life. Say, no, don't worry. Once you get talking, then you'll see. So some girls, you know, they're so shy. But when they meet their new husbands, then some portion of the conversation comes and tell a Ben, there's something like silence to keep quiet, no? So you didn't know how to talk to this new groom, but now you don't know how to keep quiet with him also. Because you got talking, you see, sisters? So let's go on. After that, we make some zikrullah, and then we read some Quran. Now obviously, you can't do this for the full hour because you've got sehri preparations. So get the sehri preparations, preferably done at night. In one of my talks, I went into some recipes as well. You see, sisters, not only you people are faced with the time against you. I spent 4 months in the pedal jamaat, and the procedure was after they would walk the 10-15 kilometers, we had to have breakfast ready for them. So we would drive to the next venue and they'd walk. Because that's a very good way of showing Islam in a passive dawah. So when they arrive, like the first time I was in khidmat, I want this, I want that. Now these are your brothers, so you got to understand. But I got caught unawares. So I sat with my khidmat sati, and I took the tupperwares from the... And in the night, I cracked all my eggs. I made everything ready. You know, the 7 tea bags I'm going to use, I put all that. And I said, I will show these. These hunger horrors, you know. When these Al-Nanitos pitch up here, we'll be one step ahead of them. So we had everything ready. And Alhamdulillah, when they pitched up, they couldn't even, say anything or bat an eyelid at anything because we were one step ahead. So your sehri preparation generally which becomes stressful. I mean, who does cooking 4 o'clock in the morning? Nobody. So if you can have max done at night, you won't stress in the morning. Keep that in mind, right? So then, sisters, it's Fajr time. Now we need to get down to Quran Tilawat. The Quran Tilawat is so important. And whatever age and category you fall in, I've got something to share with you. My great-grandmother, at the age of 83, with eye impediments and health issues, she used to make 5 khatams in the month of Ramadan. What age? 80 plus. I don't know what she was doing when she was young. That could have been more phenomenal. But the point what I'm getting across, that old ladies are making so many khatams. Then, in this very Durban of yours, Alhamdulillah, we've got women that have clocked 20 khatams. Certain women say that no, probably that lady, she got no work in her life, you know. So that's why she can make... No. She's also got responsibilities. But let me tell you about people who got children as well. They have made approximately 10 khatams. Hafizas have made about 12 khatams. Now what is my contribution in this whole issue? How am I going to do it? No, sisters. That timetable... that I must complete approximately 10 paras a day. Set a goal and reward yourself. If I don't finish my 10 paras a day, generally a person eats about maybe 5 savories, right? So for every para, reward yourself with 1 savory that you're going to have iftar time. Trust me, you'll make that khatams happen, because if you don't see those Bermuda triangles, then you'll feel really caught up, you know. So set some goal and wash that face with cold water. Get a nice position where you can, you know, push the Quran. But advice, don't sit too long in one position. Last year we had one sister that her body got jammed and all, so much khatam she made. So you obviously, you can't just drive for 10 hours. You've got to stop at a Shell Ultras. So don't overdo it too, and don't underdo it as well. Then comes Ishraq. Read your 2 rakats. First 2 rakats salah, you'll get Hajj and Umrah with no accreditation. And then your whole day's work will be made easy. The children, if they go to a certain school or madrasa, see them off. And then sisters, you need a little bit of rest also. Maybe by that time your maid pulls in, allocate some work for her, and you also take rest, because wali badanika alayka haqqun, your body also has a right over you. You've been pulling from 3, and now you think you're going to be a superhero. First 5 days you'll do it, after that you'll need salusa 45. So take it easy. Not that that's a halal vitamin. Just check the halal status of that. I think so. Barakas are more safe, you know. Don't go for salusa 45. That's just my part of my talk. So then we've got our duties. Either we're going to work or we're at home, whatever it is. How do we deal with people? By the way, sehri is so important, to consume the sehri till the last hour, till the last minutes. You see, many women that don't have sehri, they suffer by the end of Ramadan malnutrition. They become weak. And that is the time when they must work harder. Now they can't because they're kaput. So sehri is an action that differentiates us from other religions. Because other religions also keep fast, but they don't have sehri. So some few things that you can have for sehri. One, try to have things that have a potassium content in them. Bananas, dates, and generally that haleem. People advise that we have it at iftar, but it's a good broth. It has oats in it that is like a drip to sustain us throughout the day. By the way, our fast in comparison to those people in England is like a walk in the park. Some places, New Zealand I think says about 21 hours. So in 3 hours they are making iftar, Maghrib, having a bite, Tarawih and Sehri. Imagine South Africa was like that. We won't even have this program, I think. Everyone will be knocked out. So we've got a walk in the park. And even our long fasts are like 15 hours max. So the Sehri is important. Coming back to the day, whether you're at work or whatever your situation is, sisters, we are not only fasting away from food, drink and pleasures, but our fast is away from our eyes as well. Our eyes are also fasting. Did you know that? Our ears are also fasting. And our mouth is also fasting. Our heart is also fasting. And our mind is also fasting. You say, hey, this is a new fast that's getting on, man. I heard of the basic things. No, what is implied here is that with my eyes, I would not see anything that will displease Allah. With my mouth, I will not speak anything that will displease Allah. And I must even say now, my fingertips must be fasting. I will not type anything that will displease Allah. And I will not listen to anything that displeases Allah. My heart, I will not feel anything that displeases Allah. And my mind, I won't contemplate anything that displeases Allah. In the books of Tasawwuf, in other words, you know, the high realms or high stages of spiritual development, they even explain to you what is called zehen ki paak hona chahiye. Like, how you know how you have to have a clean body and a clean place to pray. You must also have a clean mind. It's so important. So this roza, I won't cause harm to anybody. Because it must not be at the end of the day, the only thing that happened was I stayed away from food and drink and I passed my fast. No. I mustn't commit any sins during this month of Ramadan as well. As much as you get rewards during the month of Ramadan, likewise a person can be taken to task for neglecting this month of Ramadan. Just jumping to Laylatul Qadr while my mind is there, one of the reasons why the night of Qadr, the night of power, has not been revealed to us, the ulama write in the tafsir that had we known the specific night and someone still had the audacity and vehemence to be neglectful on that night and commit sins, how much more would he be destroying and chopping his feet? So Allah left it unawares so that at least these type of people too, they do not, you know, bury themselves in great amount of problems. So during the month of Ramadan, how do we interact? How do we interact with our maid? Now you see, when you don't have that sari properly, I was telling the men yesterday in the Juma Bayan, when you don't have that sari properly, around 3 o'clock you are thinking of your 5 roses. Every lady has different chamomiles, and certain people like the grey tea and Earl tea and Lipton tea. So certain people like their 5 roses. By 3 o'clock you don't see your 5 roses, then you're giving the maid 5 fingers and 4 letter words. It's happening. If the maid is not catching it, then the children are catching it. And if they don't catch it, then the one that has to catch it will catch it. He's the catcher, you know, alhamdulillah. Allah placed one catcher in every woman's life to catch it. He's been born to catch it. You know, jokes aside, sisters. So that becomes our Ramadan of grumbling and groaning. That's not the spirit of Ramadan. Ramadan is a month where Allah is extending His karam. The explanation of karam is that He's giving to people and forgiving people that don't deserve, yet Allah Ta'ala is giving us. Shouldn't we adopt that quality of Allah to be big-hearted? So then, sisters, come our Zuhr Salah, plan a little bit more Quran, according to your ability now. And then have a little rest as well after Zuhr. Rest means a power nap, 15 minutes. Plan yourself out. You know, be merciful to your body. And I'm advising all over, wherever I have been in Ramadan prep, ladies bayan, please have your things ready by 4 o'clock. 4 to 5 is Allah's time. It's not milkshake time. It's not bajja time. Halim time. One person said, He has accepted Islam. So you say, mashallah, when you're a Muslim, say, no, from last week, I drank my first bowl of Halim. So we kept his name, Abdul Halim. So Halim has made somebody a Muslim. Samosa, no. Even in a masjid, we've got programs. Every masjid has got a program that's going on at iftar time. So people don't waste their time. So sisters, don't be doing your work till iftar time. It's not a nice sight. You've got warmers, you've got microwaves, you've got hot pots, you've got fryers. These are not show pieces in the kitchen. These are to be used in the month of Ramadan. So that period between Asr and Maghrib is Allah's time. What are we going to do then? During the month of Ramadan, I'm going to increase La ilaha illallah. I'm going to increase recitation of zikr. You know, we had the opportunity, and maybe Allah bless us again, to go do the i'tikaf with Hazrat Mufti Sahab in Isipingo Beach. MashaAllah, every i'tikaf is wonderful. On one night he advises us that, did you know when you're waking up from 2 rakats of Taraweeh to the next, I'm not talking about a 4 rakat break, just standing up from that to that, you can complete about 11 La ilaha illallah. And I said, gosh, wow, man. This man even thinks between 2 rakats what to do. I never even thought so far. We're still thinking what to read in the 4 rakats. So sisters, time and tide wait for no man. So during the month of Ramadan, I'm going to increase my La ilaha illallah. I'm going to increase my istighfar and ask Allah for forgiveness. And 2 du'as, I'm going to increase them. And that is, Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridhaaka wal jannah. Well, I'm asking you for your pleasure and grant me paradise. وَنَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ سَخَتِكَ وَغَضَبِكَ وَالنَّارِ. And O Allah, save me from your displeasure and from the fire of Jahannam. Then comes dua. I said I'll touch on it again. Sisters, what are we asking from Allah at that crucial hour? Look, you can ask Allah for anything. There's not a problem. But we got a dua for 10 minutes. And like sometimes you go to the Kaaba, you know, and you can hear somebody cry, Ya Rabbi Iqfar! Ya Rabbi Iqfar! You listen properly. This is like heavy Arabic. Sheikh, Mother call, what are you saying? I'm asking Allah for X5. Ya Rabbi X5. I mean, brother, you came all the way here to hold this multazam, to ask Allah for an X5. Okay, I mean, so the person wants to argue now. He says, I mean, why are you coming between me and Allah? If I want an X6, what you got to do with it? Why are you getting? I say, no, but, you know, just think, man. That's something that's perishable. Why don't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something that's permanent? I mean, you just got the multazam for a few seconds and X5 is the only thing came to your mind. Now, the people don't understand this. But sisters, what will you do if you walked into... We got like 2 famous Muslim jewelry shops in Durban, right? You can work it out. So you walked in there and they read you out the constitution. Congratulations, sister. It is in our constitution that we are 50 years old today. And it's signed here by the first CEO of this company that whoever walks in at 12 o'clock will be given 5 minutes in the shop to choose what they want. So, mashallah, they close the doors and they leave this lady in that shop. And she walks around and she sees that the owner has left his jacket. Hey, my husband loves his jacket. Then she walks around and sees the floor was mop, kind of a mop that does some, hey, this mop is normally from the very mark store, 500 rand, let me take this thing. Then she goes into the kitchen section and sees they've got some nice tea sets and she puts it into one bucket and by that time the 5 minutes are up. She comes home, you know, elated. She's over the moon. And her husband says, where you got all this smart jacket for me and shoes and what have you? Say, no, today I went to this famous jewelry shop in Durban. And this is the whole story, the constitution, what I explained. Wait a minute. Darling, what you just told me? That you went to the jewelry shop and they told you, choose what you want in 5 minutes and you brought this jacket for me. Yes, that, is it fitting you? Say, you know what? My darling, 30 years ago when I proposed for you, my great uncle, you know, he told me, you're marrying an idiot. But today, my uncle has confirmed it. In his kabar also, I'll send him the basharat. Sabse bara ullu ka patta, idiotic woman of this world, in the whole of Durban, you know, there's a classification, idiot.com is you. You couldn't think to get a Mont Blanc watch. Your mind never go to Rado and Raymond Wheel. It never go to that bracelet. You never go to the platinum jewelry. So many diamonds are not even zakatable. Your mind never think. Now that lady says, hey, you know, Gora, what you're saying is right. Huh? But too late now. Now we're laughing at this woman, but in reality we are this woman. At iftar time, Allah, Seychelles ka cruise, nasib farma. Seychelles cruise, at iftar time. Hi, how can it be? Allah, ostrich leather handbag, please just eat for me. Allah, Hanayan cloak, please, Allah. Allah, Ted Baker shoes. This is a thing to talk to Allah at that time. I'm not saying don't ask Allah, don't get me wrong. But you got a limited time and just a conversation you have is like the jewelry shop. So iftar time, ask Allah for big things. Hose, kosar, water we need. Shade under the arsh of Allah. Our children must become pious. We want health and they must become hafiz, they must become alim, they must be barkat in the home, they must be safe from sicknesses. These are the things to talk to Allah. Yes, you can ask that other things also, but don't go head over heels over those things that are so perishable. Then comes the time of iftar. Advisable, sisters, that break the fast and then read the maghrib and then you can dine properly. Try not to delay the maghrib too much. 5, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, all right. You'll have enough of those triangles by that time. You'll be like a geometry lesson, you know. spring rolls, kebabs, all these things, you know, they work out. Then, sisters, comes the, you know, lull or the period between iftar and taraweeh. Many women are delaying their taraweeh too late. And you know that when something is not done on time, procrastination is a thief of time. The best way that we have found to combat taraweeh, if that's a, for lack of a better word, you know, when the men leave for a masjid, you also go to your masjid. Now you'll say, where's my masjid? Every home, big home, small home, even one room, one bedroom home, whatever is your home, that's your palace, right? Set aside where you're going to make your ibadat. So if there's three ladies at home, mother and two daughters, or mother and daughter-in-law, all come to one place to make ibadat. There's like a rahmat that when you put things, when you put roses together, it has a smell, isn't it? When you put a bouquet of flowers, it looks nice. Same like that, when you amalgamate, when you conglomerate, when you join together in one spot, that place becomes a hub of ibadat. So there must be few Qurans also there for each person. Everyone should have their musalla. Tasbih should be there. And that mashallah, we've all got that oud and sprays. You know, make that home alive. Unfortunately today, sisters, Allah make us maaf. When we're getting some high profile visitor that our husband can sign a deal with, which can secure our next jeep, then I'm there. I'm making it happen. I'm laying it out. Adiga style, Casablanca style. But my Ramadan month has come. What the hell, man? Take out a drab cloak with a drab musalla. It came, it went, man. Allah knows best. Kama tadino tudano. Jaise karni vaise barni. What you sow, so shall you reap. Let's make this month of Ramadan special. Come on, sisters. Are we going to waste it in plays and dramatic performances on the radio? No. Let's get down to hard work. And you've got a quicker taraweeh than the men. So, you can be done in 25 minutes. Alam tara kayfa tun milan jinnati wan nas. And after that, whilst we are waiting for the men to come back from the masjid, let's sort out our work, sari preparations and some Quran. When the men come, now this is not in the kitabs. I'm trying to get a point over to you. Mashallah, we all have something to eat, you know, like a little snacky. It's not midnight, but a little bite. It's like Durban fused. Few things have become like farz that are not farz in the kitab. One is the dal and rice, and one is this after taraweeh kind of a snack that you have. Sisters, don't just have the snack like that. Try and do this. Just try. Get a fazail-e amal in which you open to the section of fazail-e Ramadan and only read for 3 to 4 minutes, the whole family. You are the muallima of that house, or your hubby is the little molana now. And then after that spiritual food, dish out your tin roof and dish out your whatever, what that macaroons and what you know better. I lose a track of the amount of things that you people present in the month of Ramadan. And early to bed, early to rise, makes the musalli healthy, wealthy and wise. So this is a program of the month of Ramadan. Sisters, in this month also become more generous. Many people give their zakah at this time because they know Allah will multiply the fard so much more. But aside from that, like just off the cuff, I'm thinking tonight at the Orient Old Boys, the hall, they are packing the hampers. Now send our men and sons there. You know, they want to do something for Allah's work. Say, go there. You'll meet a few people. Say, we came to help. They are packing 2,100 hampers. Now, can you and I really, a hamper that's worth say 250 rand each. Do the mathematics of 2,100. It's a phenomenal figure, right? Are we really going to be able to afford that? But Allah is so merciful, just by helping to pack it, we'll get the reward of all the expense of that, and the people's joys and duas will be counted, though we'll even pack maybe 10 of the 2,100. And supper is also served for them as a gesture of appreciation. So like these are good works we would do in the month of Ramadan. Sisters, at all cost, stay away from those things. You see, when you put on a run flat tire, right? Still, they'll tell you it's a Michelin, it's a Hankook 8 best tire in the world, or Bandag, whatever. But if you're going to run it on nails like crazy, sister, it's not going to work. It's not from Jannat or something, this thing. So this month of Ramadan, with all its promises, you can't commit sins. The sins that basically exist in our life in the month of Ramadan is the television, the ghibat, and the music. These are three basic sins, and also our attire in the month of Ramadan. One alim, he's in the business field, so he had another person come over to do some business. So they noticed one Muslim lady shopping there. So that person is saying, but this is a Muslim. Maulana said, don't worry, she's well dressed. If you only saw her out of Ramadan, then you'll know what she's actually. So our dressing, sisters, should suggest some respect for this month. Normally we might be moving around like Marilyn Monroe. But just think of Maut, think of Akhirat. Get one scarf. Shazia got a stale also. Put it on. Encourage one another. Those that are not covering their face, take that courage to cover the face. Or at least have the shyness. MashaAllah, many sisters, they can't handle the parda because they're still getting used to it. So they got the scarf style thing. Whatever way, show some respect to this month. You know, there was an Atish Parast, a fire worshipper. His son was eating on the road. He reprimanded him, rebuked him, and even gave him a shot. So the son said, Dad, what you hit me for? He said, don't you know it's the month of Ramadan? He said, but what Ramadan got to do with us? We fire worshippers. So the father says, no, we're not Muslim, but we must show respect to them. Anyway, time elapsed. The fire worshipper passed on. A buzruk sees him in a dream, and this person is dwelling in Jannat. So he questions him, hey, I mean, there's a dichotomy here. We know Iman only takes you to Jannat. Fire worshipper, how you got there? He said, yes, I was a fire worshipper. But you know that one day I showed respect to the month of Ramadan. Allah gave me tawfiq to read Kalima before I left this world. So let us show respect to the month of Ramadan and stay away from sins. Last but not least, if you can't do any ibadat in the month of Ramadan, this is like last resort. Just sleep and perform your salah. At least Hazrat will tell us, don't commit any sins. You still become a wali of Allah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these programs a success, as well as we encourage you to send your men out for 10 days i'tikaf, or 10 days in a jamaat, or 10 days in the company of some buzruk, or the good works that are carrying on. Encourage our men, and we ourselves do it, and you'll find that this month will be valuable. So just to recap, we spoke about a timetable, and in this timetable we went from hour to hour, stressing on dua, stressing on Quran Sharif, tilawat especially, as well as abstention from sins and fulfilling the rights of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and especially the hukukul ibad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the Darul Huda committee, as well as Hazrat Maulana, his family, and all of you that put this program together at this juncture this morning, with sa'adat darain and barakah and khair. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll take a few minutes just to make some dua for all of our benefit.